Chapter 23. Of other ways of governing our senses according to the different occasions which happen. Having shown you how to raise your mind from outward things to the contemplation of the divinity and to the mysteries of the incarnate word, I will here add some other helps for meditations in a different manner, that as the tastes of our souls are various, so also may be the food which is supplied. Moreover, this may be useful not only to simple-minded persons, but also to those who are more talented and more advanced in the spiritual life, and who nevertheless are not always equally disposed or ready for more profound contemplations. Nor need you fear that the suggestion of such a variety of methods will be perplexing, if you will only keep to the rule of discretion, and to the advice of others, which I would have you, not only in this instance, but on all occasions, follow with lowliness and trustfulness. When you look upon so many things of earth, which are pleasant to the eyes and valued, consider that they are utterly vile and as dung in respect of the heavenly riches, after which, despising the whole world, aspire with your whole heart. When you look towards the sun, consider how much brighter and more beautiful your soul is than it, if you are in the favor of the Creator. And if not in a state of grace, think that it is blacker and more abominable than the darkness of hell. When you raise your eyes to the heavens above you, let the eyes of your mind pierce through it to the heaven of heavens, and there fix yourself in thought as in the place prepared for your eternal and most blessed resting place, if you live innocently on earth. If you hear the songs of birds or other sweet strains, lift up your mind to the songs of paradise, where sounds the endless Alleluia, and pray the Lord to make you meet to praise Him forever in union with those heavenly spirits. If the beauty of a creature fascinates you, remember that the serpent of hell lies hidden beneath it, anxious and ready to kill or at least wound you, and say to him, "Ah, accursed serpent, with what subtlety dost thou lay wait to devour me?" Then turn to God and say, "Blessed be thou, my God, who hast discovered to me the secret enemy and rescued me from his ravenous jaws." After this, fly at once from the allurement to the wounds of your crucified Lord, and let your mind be occupied with them, musing upon the great things your Lord suffered in his most sacred flesh in order to redeem you from your sins and to render all carnal delights odious to you. I would also remind you of another way of escape from this dangerous enticement, namely, to represent to yourself vividly how this object which so charms you would appear in your eyes after death had worked its change. When walking, think how each step brings you one nearer to death. Let the birds in the air and the water in the stream remind you that your life, even with greater swiftness, is hurrying on to its close. Let violent storms of wind, peals of thunder, and flashes of lightning bring you to the thought of the awful day of judgment, and on your bended knees worship God and pray for grace and time to make due preparation for your appearing before His supreme majesty. In the different accidents which may happen to you, you may act in the following manner. When, for instance, you feel very melancholy and depressed in spirits, or are tried by heat or cold or any other bodily pain, lift up your heart to the eternal will, which has for your good and happiness appointed you this discomfort, and has arranged the time and duration of it. Then, rejoicing in this manifestation of the love of God, and for the opportunity of serving Him in the way which seems to Him best, say in your heart, "Behold in me the fulfillment of the divine will, which has from all eternity lovingly ordered that I should now undergo this trial. Blessed, ever blessed be my most gracious Lord." When any good thought arises in your heart, turn at once to God, and acknowledge that it comes from Him, and give thanks to Him for it. When you read, seem to see beneath the words your Lord, and receive them as if at that moment they were proceeding out of His divine lips. When you look on the Holy Cross, remember that it is the standard of your warfare, and that if you forsake it, you will give yourself over into the hands of cruel enemies, but if you follow it, you will enter into heaven, laden with glorious spoils. When you see the sweet image of the Blessed Virgin, let your thoughts turn to her who reigns in paradise, and be thankful that she was every moment ready to do the will of God, that she bore, nourished, and tended the Redeemer of the world, and that in our spiritual conflict she is ever desirous to give us her sympathy and aid. Let the images of saints represent to you so many champions who, having bravely run their course, have opened the way by which, if you too run, you shall be crowned with them in endless glory. When you see a church, you may, amongst other devout reflections, consider that your soul is the temple of God, and that you are therefore bound to strive to keep it pure and spotless as His dwelling place. When you hear the three sounds for the angelical salutation, make the following short meditations on the words which are said before each of the little heavenly prayers. At the first stroke of the bell, give thanks to God for that message which came from heaven to earth and was the beginning of our salvation. At the second, rejoice with the Blessed Virgin at the greatness to which she was raised through her most profound and matchless humility. At the third stroke, unite yourself with the Most Blessed Mother and the Angel Gabriel in adoring the Divine Child newly conceived, and remember to bow your head with reverence at each stroke, and with a lower reverence at the last. These meditations at the three strokes of the bell will serve for all seasons. The following for morning, noon, and night are more fitted for the season of the Passion, for we are especially bound to remember the sorrows endured by Our Lady at that time, and should be open to the charge of ingratitude were we to neglect to do so. In the evening, then, think of the anguish of that most pure Virgin on account of the bloody sweat, the seizing in the garden, and all the untold sorrows which through that night her blessed Son endured. In the morning, condole with her for what she suffered when her son was brought before Pilate and Herod, was condemned to die, and when he came forth bearing his cross. At noon, pass on to the thought of the sword of grief which pierced the heart of this afflicted mother at the Lord's crucifixion and death, and at that most cruel piercing of his most sacred side. These meditations on the grief of the Blessed Virgin will serve you from Thursday evening till Saturday at noon. The former will suit the other days of the week. I leave all this, however, to be settled by your own devotional attraction and by the opportunities which external objects afford. But to conclude in few words, I will only add, as a general rule for governing the senses, be watchful that, in all the occurrences of your life, whatever they may be, you are not moved or drawn either by love or hatred of them, but only by the will of God, embracing what God wills you to embrace and hating what God wills you to hate. And observe that these different rules for governing the senses are not given to you that you should be always thinking about them, for your mind should be fixed on your Lord continually, who wills that by frequently making acts of the contrary virtues and by resistance, you should conquer your enemies and subdue your evil passions. I have simply given you these directions to help you when you stand in need of them, for you must know that there is little fruit in the multiplicity of spiritual practices, however excellent they may be in themselves. They often end in perplexity, self-love, instability, and the snares of the devil.